the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right, everybody. Welcome into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on that app, tap that app, The Game Nashville app, and on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, and review. Search Chasing Checkers, SoundCloud as well. I am Chase McCabe, your host here, as always, excited to talk some NASCAR racing, and we're wrapping up Talladega, which you know that is one of my favorite places. Old Talladega Super Speedway, and it was a wild ride. It was a wild finish. But Stewart Haas Racing, they were the team to beat all race long. And I don't know if we've ever really seen a team dominance like we have seen out of Stewart Haas Racing, not only in that race, but really this year. So you'll hear from some of their drivers as well. But the man of the hour, Eric Almirola, he is who came away with the victory. And what is so funny? What were we talking about a week ago? We were talking about Eric Almirola, right? And how he didn't get the win and how disappointed he was. In fact, let's take a trip down memory lane. This was Eric Almirola after Dover talking about the closing laps with NBC.
The closing laps, were you thinking this is finally over and we can finally get to victory lane?
I thought so. I know better. To not get too far ahead of myself and to just race the race and take it as it comes. And you know, we were obviously in really good position there to win the race. I was really taking it easy. I know Kurt started making a little ground there, and I was just really taking it easy on my tires and making sure that I had something to race with if he got any closer. But I felt really good about the position we were in, coming to, you know, 10 to go, leading, and with about a half a straightaway lead to Kurt. And, you know, just circumstances didn't go our way. And, you know, just frustrated. I wanted to go to victory lane, man. I thought for sure we were going to go to victory lane here. This is a really great track for me. And obviously all of our Stewart Haas Racing cars were really fast. So everybody back at the shop's doing a great job giving us fast race cars to show up to the track. And when Kevin had his misfortune, I thought that kind of put it in our lap to be the car to beat. And just didn't work out. So just frustrated. Wanted to put our Smithfield Ford Fusion in victory lane. And unfortunately, that didn't work out.
So that was after Dover. Eric Almirola there. Very disappointed. Thought he had a great opportunity. Clint Bowyer was upset for him because Bowyer was the one that brought out that last caution. So he felt responsible. So you go from just the lowest of lows of you see your second career win, your first win with your new team. It's right there in front of you, and circumstances take it away. Fast forward a week later at Talladega.
Oh, man. That is so awesome at Talladega. You guys are awesome. Man, I've been so close so many times this year, and the Smithfield team, everybody believing in me, Tony Stewart, Gene Haas, for giving me a chance. Four or five times this year, I feel like we've had a shot to win and haven't been able to seal the deal. And to come here, a place that I love. I won an Xfinity race here last year, and I just love racing at Talladega. And I came to the track with a mindset that we're going to go race, and we're going to go give them hell. And if we wreck, we wreck. And if we win, we win. And we won!
You did it, buddy!
We won! And what a cool time to do it, too. Smithfield did this awesome promotion with Bacon for Life. Somebody's going to win Bacon for Life. Literally, Bacon for Life.
Bacon for Life. Somebody won that. Eric Almirola with Rutledge Wood of NBC right after winning the race. And, you know, I've been critical of NBC before of how they kind of do two interviews back-to-back with the winner. They do the one where they're on the track and they just did the burnout and they get out of the car and then they do victory lane. I'm starting to warm up to the idea because you get that raw emotion just moments, literal moments after winning the race when they get out of the car. You know, victory lane, there's a slight cool down period. So you can hear the emotion in his voice after going from the lowest of lows, as I said, losing at Dover when you thought you had it in the bag, to winning. And you know, he wasn't the lead car necessarily for Stuart Haas all day, but he put himself in a position to win the race when it counted the most, and that's what happened. And Stuart Haas Racing, just a fantastic day for them overall. Now, I know that Kurt Busch ran out of gas, Kevin Harvick ran out of gas and had to pit late under that last caution when it looked like it was, you know, when it was going to overtime. So that kind of ruined the top four finish. They had one of those earlier in the year, but Clint Bowyer comes home second, and that just shows you the progress that Stuart Haas Racing has made. The addition of Eric Almirola. I told you when he signed with this team, I loved that. I was like, you know what? That kid's got a lot of talent, more than he was able to show with the Petties in that 43 car. And now we're seeing it with Stuart Haas. He's got to win, and I think many more to come. And look, he's advanced to the round of eight. He doesn't have to worry about Kansas this weekend because he knows he's going to be in the round of eight now, along with Chase Elliott. So Eric Almirola gets the win, and you heard him mention Tony Stewart and Gene Haas. He was actually asked about Tony Stewart in his post-race press conference and what kind of advice, because they've been seen talking together a lot, what kind of advice Smoke gave Eric Almirola.
Yeah, he every time I've seen him lately, he just keeps telling me, Goose Fraba. He keeps telling me just to calm down, take deep breaths. He's like, you're going to win. He's like, I promise you. He's like, when the day I told you I was going to hire you, I knew you were going to win races for my company. He said, it's going to happen. You just have to keep putting yourself in position. And you keep putting yourself in position, and I promise you it will happen. And he kept telling Johnny the same thing. He was telling Johnny, like, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't doubt yourself. Don't second-guess yourself. Keep putting yourself in position, and it will happen.
Sounds like Finding Nemo, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. That's what Eric Almirola and his crew did. And for Tony Stewart, think about this. When Tony Stewart left Gibbs with the opportunity to join Gene Haas, Haas Racing had never done anything. I mean, they hadn't even come close. He joins up with him. They get backing at the time from Hendrick Motorsports, now, of course, with Ford. They start putting things together. They win a championship with Tony Stewart. They win a ton of races. They build this empire that they have now, and they're getting even more backing from Ford and those Roush Yates engines. So you see the dominance. Tony Stewart's not going to just hire some schmuck off the street to come drive his race cars. He wants somebody that is going to be capable of winning. That's why they ultimately decided to move on from Danica Patrick. She couldn't win. She was not getting the finishes that were indicative of Stuart Haas Racing. They get Eric Almirola in that 10 car. That's the first win for that 10 car with Stuart Haas. And he gets it done in his first season. And I believe this team is on its way up. It's not just one race. I think it's definitely on its way up. And he actually feels like that the team is exceeding expectations.
Honestly, I feel like we're exceeding expectations. I feel like we're exceeding, you know, your expectations, the media. I feel like we're exceeding probably even Tony Stewart and Gene Haas's expectations. You know, I went into this year feeling like if we can just run top 15 and be consistent and not make any mistakes all year long, we could maybe make the playoffs. And that was a goal for us. And then, you know, I've got a new team. I'm new to the organization. My crew chief, Johnny's first year being a crew chief. We've got a lot of young guys on our team, and I really feel like we're built to grow. And as the year has progressed, I feel like we just continue to get better and better and better. And I feel like we haven't even reached max potential. I feel like there's so much more room to grow for us and to get better. And that's what's so exciting for me to see. That we're not at the ceiling yet. We're still young and new in this whole you know, team.
That's what's scary about that 10 car. They're not at the ceiling. They're not even close. And I remember when he finished when they had that top four, and Kurt Busch had won. You had Clint Bowyer had won races. Harvick had won races. was like, Almirola's coming. Almirola's going to win. You just wait and see. He's going to get a win. We thought it was going to happen at Dover. Ends up happening the next week at Talladega. So he's there. And I think that he is going to be a guy, now that he is in the right equipment, he can compete for championships. Now, you look at Stuart Haas Racing overall and the job that they have done. Those guys, I think this could be one of the most special teams that I remember seeing in recent memory. And it just based off the finishes that they have had this year, not only with Harvick and all his wins, but Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, now Eric Almirola. Clint Bowyer had high praise for both Eric Almirola and Stuart Haas Racing in post-race.
You know, I was happy for Eric. He had that race won last week, and you know, it was me that brought out the caution. So I feel like he got a real redemption there, and I was happy that we finished second. I think it was second. And as far as our day went, we needed to be a little bit better, but man, you can't say enough. I mean, I don't think you can write enough about the job that everybody at Stuart Haas did. Those cars were so fast. You know, I've seen other guys, other teams, other organizations put that together before. The Hendrick organization's been there before. The Gibbs cars have done that before. It was our turn, you know what I mean? The Penske cars have done that before. We finally, you know, got all four cars, you know, to the cream of the crop. And oh, my gosh, was it awesome, you know, to be able to work together like that. We could hold on. And they get some runs on you and everything else. But as long as you held your ground and stayed disciplined and followed and stayed in line, we'd prevail.
That's Clint Bowyer in post-race praising Stuart Haas Racing. His teammate, it was kind of like the racing gods made everything right with Almirola, but Stuart Haas Racing has been tremendous, and they're probably going to win a championship. You know, we're going to talk to Alan Cavana from Fox Sports here in just a few minutes on the show, and I, you know, of course, we focus on the big three of Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr., but, you know, are we in a situation where somebody other than those three is going to win the championship? There has to be four drivers at Homestead Miami. And as we pull up the standings here on Chasing Checkers, it is time to review, and we will later in the show go through clinch scenarios. But the standings right now, there is a name in the big three that, you know, should feel okay going into Kansas because they're good there. But let's see. Eric Almirola, he advances with a win, so he is in the round of eight. Chase Elliott in second place is also in the round of eight because of a win. Kevin Harvick is in third, 63 points to the good. Kyle Busch is in fourth, 46 points to the good. Joey Logano, 39 points to the good in fifth. Kurt Busch in sixth, 30 to the good. Clint Bowyer in seventh, 21 up. And Martin Truex Jr., 18 points to the good in the final spot. Drivers with work to do. Brad Keselowski in ninth. He is, of course, 18 behind Martin Truex Jr. Ryan Blaney in 10th with 22. Behind Kyle Larson, 36 behind. Alex Bowman, 68 behind. So those are the standings right now. And I bring up Martin Truex Jr. He caught up with NBC after the race, spoke on his day at Talladega, but also, does he have a sense of comfort going into Kansas?
No, we have no idea. I mean, it really didn't matter what we did to the car. It didn't go away. So we tried a lot of stuff, and the thing was evil to drive. It couldn't even go straight. It just was, I could run hard for two or three laps on tires, and then as soon as the tires got a little bit of air pressure in them, I was just hanging on. So the longer the runs were, the worse it got, and there was no chance of me just getting up in there and racing as much as I wanted to. And then, luckily we were able to get some tires there at the end, and like I said, I could go for three laps, so I felt good about the green-white checker, overtime, whatever it was, and they wrecked in front of us, and we just barely made it through. So luckily we got through there, and I was able to salvage something.
So you're 18 points to the good going into Kansas, obviously a mile and a half places. You've dominated. Do you have a lot of confidence with that sort of buffer?
Yeah, I feel good about that. I mean, I think that's that's a place we can go to, even if we you know, had to win and feel pretty confident about it. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to go there and win, but, you know, I feel like if there's anywhere we can have that kind of confidence, it's probably one of those tracks. So, yeah, I feel good about that. And, you know, it's racing. A lot can happen, as we've seen today. You never know. But, you know, we'll give it all we've got, and we'll bring our great race car to Kansas and go try to get us a checkered flag.
He's not saying he's going to go there and win, but I think he's saying he's going to go there and win. Martin Truex Jr. is darn good at Kansas. If there were if there were ever a situation where there is a guy that is close to being out of it that needs a win, Martin Truex Jr. is in the best position he possibly could be in, and he was with NBC, Parker Kligerman there. Look, this is a good scenario for him. Other drivers, and we'll talk about this a little later on in the show, they could have some work to do, but if you're Martin Truex Jr., I'm not that worried going into Kansas this weekend. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. I am Chase McCabe. When we come back, Alan Cavana from Fox Sports, he's going to join us. We'll talk all things playoffs. We'll look at Kansas, as well as the Xfinity Series and the Camping World Truck Series. That's all next. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you on Chasing Checkers, as always, and as promised, pleased to be joined by Alan Cavana from Fox Sports. You know him from their Camping World Truck Series coverage as a pit reporter and also on NASCAR Race Hub. Alan, how are you today?
Oh, doing good, doing good. You know, we are right in the middle of all the playoff runs for, like you said, the Cup Series, Xfinity Series, and trucks, and we're getting towards the end of the season, and it's a long NASCAR season. We can see the end, and it only gets the pressure is at its highest, and that's what I love about it.
That's what's so funny is the season is so long, and you know it seems like it takes a while to get from Daytona up until Indianapolis when the playoffs start. But then once the playoffs start, it just flies through, and we're almost done. And it's just been that exciting.
It does, especially when you segment it like it is, like in the Cup Series with, you know, three races per round, and you're tallying every point, you're tallying every pass, every stage. You've seen all that stuff matters, and each one of these races seems bigger than the other because, I mean, the racers can say it all they want. You know, we don't try any harder. You can't possibly do more. But once you get to the playoffs, BS. We see different racing. We see different aggression, and we see it play out differently in the playoffs. Just some pressure that is just it exists. You can't deny it.
Talladega, of course, provided a lot of excitement, as it usually does. It's not a cutoff race this year because they moved the schedule around. The Roval was, but Eric Almirola overcomes the demons that got him the week before at Dover. He gets that win, but it wasn't without some melee, as usually happens at Talladega.
Absolutely, and some controversy, frankly. Yeah. I mean, look, like the Stewart Haas Racing cars, that was a performance it's safe to say, I don't think we've ever seen something like that. The four teammates dominating a race the way they did, especially a plate track. And we've seen teammates get together and run together and be strong. But, I mean, without some cautions or without some restart, they would have just run away with that entire thing. I mean, kudos to that entire organization, the way they were able to do that. But this is racing. It was plate racing at Talladega. And there were some cautions at the end and wrecks and really a balls and strike call in terms of when NASCAR throws that caution. And because of some other circumstances, you know, a different Stewart Haas Racing car and Eric Almirola won the race than what many thought. Kurt Busch was going to take that checkered flag. And look, wins, you can be happy for your teammate, but you are never happy to lose a race the way Kurt Busch did. And, certainly some drama we saw last week, and it could affect things going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, Kurt Busch, there's a lot of questions surrounding him. I mean, he's clearly fighting for a championship with Stewart Haas Racing, but we don't know his plans for next year as of yet. There's rumors out there, but you know, there's a chance he's not back with that SHR. So he wanted that win. He needed that win, but his teammate was able to get it.
Yes, and you're right. It's strange. I mean, we're talking about a driver going for wins, obviously, who's quite capable, former champion, who's in a clearly strong car that can win the championship this year, and reportedly not coming back to that seat. It's so strange. Now, remember last year, they waited until December, maybe even longer, to re-sign and restructure a deal and keep Kurt Busch at Stewart Haas Racing. But reportedly, he is going to Chip Ganassi Racing, so it's one of those lame duck situations that often doesn't work out. We've seen in the past these lame duck situations, they just the push toward a title, it just veers off. Whether it's personal, whether it's just the team not wanting to give the resources toward that goal, knowing it's all going to end right after the season. But we are seeing it still with Stuart Haas Racing and Kurt Busch. They are focused on that title run, and it's still working out. They didn't get the win last week, but they are in a good position to advance.
Yeah, they are. Alan Cavana from Fox Sports on the line with us at Copa Cavana on Twitter. And what's interesting, just to build off that point, is we talk about Kurt Busch and his situation and the rumors in Chip Ganassi Racing, but then Martin Truex Jr., who is also fighting for a championship, trying to defend his championship, he's looking for a ride because his team is shutting down, yet both of these guys remain competitive. I know that Truex has some work to do this weekend at Kansas to stay in that top eight, but both of these guys are right in the mix.
Absolutely, and that's what makes, there's former champions going for this, and it's just the circumstances that the NASCAR playoff and how it's structured presents. Like right now, Martin Truex Jr., he's 18 points to the good, which sounds like something he could easily pull off. He's won two of the last three races in Kansas, and it shouldn't be an issue. But winning means everything in this playoff system, and what I mean by that is Martin Truex can go out there and score a ton of points on Sunday. He could finish second. He can lead every lap except the last one. Finish second. And if one of the guys below the cut line right now were to win the race, there's the easy situation where that could bump Martin Truex Jr. out of the playoff, defending champion suddenly out, despite having a great run on Sunday. There is a very likely scenario that could happen. If you look at the guys who are trying to make it in right now, below the cut line. You have Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, and Alex Bowman. At least three of those drivers, I say, could easily win on Sunday. And if that happens, all of a sudden, that driver on the cut line, like Martin Truex Jr., the one who's kind of just floating right above it, is suddenly in danger. And that's what's really interesting about this playoff.
Well, and I think one of those guys that you mentioned that's really surprising is Kyle Larson, because how many times this year did we want to put him in a big four and say, well, he's going to win two or three, four races. He's going to be in the final four at Homestead, and he's come close. He hasn't been able to seal the deal, and now he's in danger of not making it to the next round.
It's one of the oddest things about the Cup Series this year. I did a piece on Race Hub. I wrote it this week that aired. When will the real Kyle Larson please stand up, if you will, right? I mean, this is a driver who has a ton of speed. A driver who leads laps, Mr. Excitement. I mean, he makes it exciting running the high line. He should be winning races, and he has zero wins so far this year. You look at Dover, the first race of this round. He had a great, great weekend going in terms of speed and practice. Everyone's looking at him. I picked him to win that race. He went out there. I don't think he ever cracked the top 10 based on speed, not even circumstance. He was just bad all day. Then you go to Talladega. You expect him to do good there, nothing, and then ends up crashing. And now he's in the position that he's in. They actually got a penalty this week, so he's even further back, maybe in a must-win situation. Yeah, from a 50,000-foot view, you think Kyle Larson, no problem. Big four, should be winning races. And then you look at the numbers. He hasn't done it this year. And it's just a matter of you want to keep picking him to advance, but then you look at the numbers, and if you blanked his name out, you'd look at the stats and say, why would I pick him to advance? He doesn't have the finishes you need. You got to win.
Well, and I thought after Chicago with, the great ending that they had with Kyle Busch, and Kyle Larson, and Busch gets the best of him. But I thought, okay, that's going to fire him up. We're going to see him turn around and win here in the next few weeks. And it simply has not happened. And that's what's been kind of difficult to see.
Absolutely. And again, you're right. You would expect it to happen. And the fact that it hasn't is really surprising. Second place is good, right? In the playoff, in the NASCAR format, winning does mean everything. Winning advances you. Win does so much for you. Think of Chase Elliott and Eric Almirola. They have nothing to worry about this weekend because they have won in this round. They know you're in the final eight. Second place can get you a lot, but does not get you that comfort. Kyle Larson needs that right now.
Alan Cavana from Fox Sports here on Chasing Checkers. Chase McCabe here with you, and you mentioned Chase Elliott. This is a guy that, going into this season, we're like, when's he going to win? He hasn't had that win. He wins at Watkins Glen, and then he wins a few weeks ago to advance to the next round. It seems like he's starting to find it, and he could be a player before this thing is over.
Absolutely. Sneaky. A guy you don't want, you know, around, I think. And now that he's already in the Final Eight, who knows what kind of, you know, lead time that gives them in terms of preparation for the next round. But, again, I keep stressing the winning format. Chase Elliott doesn't need to be the best car over the 3 weeks in terms of, you know, being the Kevin Harvick or the Kyle Busch, the Truex Jr. of that round. If he wins one of the races in the next round, you automatically go to Homestead. It doesn't matter what you do, how fast you are the other 2 weeks. And when you look at the tracks, Chase Elliott can do that. He can win Martinsville. We've seen him perform there, probably should have won it last year, got taken out.
Totally.
He can win a track like Phoenix. So he may not have the best team when you look at the year as a whole. He may not have the fastest car when you look at the year as a whole. But if you just win one of the last three races before the championship, you're there. And that's what matters. And the fact that Chase Elliott is still alive and has momentum on his side, that's what makes him a threat for Homestead.
Well, and I also look at it as they have to have four drivers at Homestead. And everybody penciled in Truex and Harvick and Kyle Busch. And there's a very good chance those three will be there. But if one of those guys doesn't win this championship, is it a disappointment? Or is it kind of like, hey, this is just another example of the best team doesn't always win the championship. This is just a product of the format.
Absolutely. I mean, we see it in other sports and racing traditionalists. It's going to take time. I'm one of them. It's going to take time to keep realizing that. I think a lot of people would argue, you know, when Jimmy Johnson won a few years ago in 2016, you know, he was by far not the best driver all year, you know, not the best team. But the way the format is now, it comes down to a walk-off in Miami. And that's we see that in a lot of sports. But the Patriots were undefeated until they weren't by the Giants that mm-hmm. 1 year, and it was one giant loss. We see that in every other sport. We're, I think, this will be the fifth year into it now for NASCAR to have the one race determine the champion. That'll just take time for people to realize and get used to. But that's the way the format is, and I think you are looking at it the correct way. We have the big three that we've been talking about all year. Yes, they have earned the spot. They have earned that nickname. They have earned those wins. But again, it's not the big three that automatically make it to the championship race. It's the winner of Texas. It's the winner of Martinsville. And it's the winner of Phoenix. And then the best of the rest. So if the big three don't win some of those races, we're not going to see the big three at Homestead competing for a title. We're going to see the race winners.
Were you surprised, just to kind of hit on another big story, of Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus announcing that they're splitting next year after a very, very long time together? It's the longest crew chief driver combination in the history of the sport, seven championships to their credit. But Chad Knaus moving over to William Byron next year, and Jimmy Johnson getting a new crew chief as well.
Yeah, you know, all good things come to an end. It had to end sometime, right? Maybe the timing was a little... He just didn't know it was going to happen midweek. I think it was a Wednesday, you know, midweek in the middle of the playoff. It makes sense at the end of the day. You think you'd love for them to end their career together. But if Chad has something to offer to that team, which certainly he does, and you tie him to a driver, an up-and-coming driver like William Byron, who needs to start making strides, and he will. Look, you know, this is a hard sport. Rookies are supposed to struggle. And we've seen some of that from William Byron this year, and we will continue to see it, but we've also seen some successes. But to pair him with a guy like Chad Knaus just makes sense. And there's no reason to wait on that, especially when, you know, Jimmy Johnson on the back end of his career. They are looking toward the future at Hendrick Motorsports. And not only are they fostering a good relationship for the future with William Byron and Chad Knaus that will help them in the future, you're fostering an up-and-coming crew chief in Kevin Mendring, who's getting that big shot that he's earned, you know, by coming up through the system, being an engineer. We've seen it before with other Hendrick guys like Greg Ives, like the other crew chiefs coming up through the ladder system, if you will. And they're focused on the future. You have to develop that talent. They're doing it on both ends. But yes, it was a surprise. It's a successful relationship that has been one of the most historic historical in all of NASCAR, and it's just crazy to think about that ending. And now they're going to compete against each other. I think that's something to look forward to.
Alan, as we wrap this up, don't get to talk about the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series as much on the show, but I know you're a big part of the Truck Series coverage. Johnny Sauter leading the way right now as the next race is at Martinsville. But you know who has kind of stood out to you in these playoffs in the Truck Series?
Well, I mean, look, Johnny Sauter, he's doing what he has to get up there. I think what we see with the playoffs is what we're seeing on the Cup side. You know, like Johnny Sauter dominated the regular season, right? But then you get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden, Justin Hanley wins. Grant Enfinger gets his first win of the season in the playoff, which automatically sends him to the next round. So different players emerge when the playoffs are here. And that can throw some wrenches in terms of who will ultimately be competing for the championship. But in terms of those who moved on, I think Noah Gregson in the 18, Kyle Busch Motorsports, speed. He didn't have the best few races in this first round for the Truck Series, but I still think there's potential there to show the speed and get that championship win. That was my pick, so I'm not gonna divert from that now. I think you're really running against, like you said, Johnny Sauter, who had an amazing regular season in terms of advancement. And the 21, 18, they're still right there. And a track like Martinsville, that could screw a lot of things up for some good people. So, you know, we reset everything. We have some, you know, Johnny Sauter will have the advantage of some playoff points, as will some other guys. But an early wreck in Martinsville could change everything. And, again, the playoff format allows for those scenarios. So it'll still be a dogfight to get to Homestead.
Yeah, and I love watching the trucks at Martinsville. So much fun because they seem to fit there.
Oh, absolutely. That's what you think about the Truck Series, right? I mean, short track racing, kind of grassroots. I mean, in terms of the National Series, that's the first one on the ladder if you're coming from the local short track, whether it be from the Midwest or the South or the Northeast. If you're making the move up, you get in the truck, right? And that's kind of that's still linked to the past, the link to the short track. Martinsville just seems like the best place for a bunch of trucks to run in the playoff race.
And then on the Xfinity side, I guess we'll go ahead and give the trophy to Christopher Bell because he's pretty much been the guy all year long. But you never know with the playoff format.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it just yet. Like there was a period there in the summer where Christopher Bell, I won't say he tailed off, but it allowed, you know, it was where Justin Allgaier really showed what he has. And he's a quiet guy. He's a nice guy to talk to, doing interviews. And I think we saw throughout the summer how aggressive Justin Allgaier will be when it comes to getting that title and going for it. And he was so close a few years ago, came down to the last restart at Homestead, where he looked like the favorite to win the title, or at least certainly was right there at the end. There was a really bad circumstances on a restart that cost him. I wouldn't give it to Christopher Bell just yet. Yes, if he can get back to his winning ways, it will be tough to beat a Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. Don't give it away just yet. Justin Allgaier, nice and aggressive. If it comes down to another late race at Homestead, I would not want to be on his bad side.
Alan Cavanna from Fox Sports at Copacavanna on Twitter. Hey, appreciate it as always, man. It's good to have you back on.
No problem. We got, I think, six more races or so toward the end, and it'll be here before we know it. This is the most exciting part of the year, so I'm ready for it.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, be well.
And that's Alan Cavanna from Fox Sports. Appreciate him as always. We've had him on the show a couple times since we launched, and really good information. Again, catch him on Race Hub. He's a reporter and then also a pit reporter for the Camping World Truck Series coverage on Fox Sports 1. So Kansas this weekend. When we come back, we'll get you ready for that. But first, I want to take another look at the standings. I did this earlier in the show, but we'll go through the clinch scenarios in the final segments. But right now, these are the standings going into the Kansas Speedway, the cutoff race, as we get ready for the round of eight. Eric Almirola, he's going. He's got a win, so he's advancing. Chase Elliott, number two, he is advancing based on a win. Kevin Harvick, 63 points to the good in third. Kyle Busch, fourth, 46 to the good. I feel pretty good about both of them. Joey Logano is 39 to the good in fifth. Kurt Busch, 30 to the good in sixth. Clint Bowyer, plus 21. And Martin Truex Jr. currently holds the final spot, 18 points to the good. Now, drivers with work to do going into this weekend, Brad Keselowski is 18 back, Ryan Blaney 22 back, Kyle Larson 36 back, Alex Bowman 68 back. So those are the standings as we go into the Kansas Speedway this weekend. And when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, we will dive into that race. We will look at the clinch scenarios, and I will give you my final thoughts as we near the round of eight in these playoffs. You heard Alan Cavanna say it. Just flying by are these 2018 NASCAR playoffs. I'm Chase McCabe. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and online at thegamenashville.com. Little White Snake bringing us back. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Appreciate Alan Cavanna for joining us on the show as we get ready to go to Kansas this weekend. It is the cutoff race as we enter the round of eight, which means three more races after this week, and then it is Homestead Miami Speedway, the championship four. Which drivers will be there? Let's take a look at some clinching scenarios, and then I want to key in on a few individuals as we go into Kansas. And a reminder, this show is available on the air, online at thegamenashville.com, on iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review. I tweet it out from my Twitter account at Chase on Game every week. So if you miss it live, go ahead and check it out. Subscribe. You can get the podcast version as well. All right. Let's look at the clinch scenarios by playing my favorite music as we do this now. Kevin Harvick. We know that Almirola and Chase Elliott have advanced, as we have said multiple times throughout the show. Kevin Harvick would clinch on points by earning 11 points with a new winner, which if somebody hadn't won this year wins, he gets 11 points. He's good. So I feel good about Kevin Harvick. If there is a repeat winner, or a win by Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, or Martin Truex Jr., he would clinch regardless of his finish. Kevin Harvick is in good shape as they get ready for the round of eight. This courtesy of NASCAR.com. Kyle Busch would clinch on points with 28 points and a new winner. If there is a repeat winner or a win by Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, or Martin Truex Jr., he would clinch by earning 10 points. Got to feel good about Kyle Busch as well. Joey Logano would clinch on points with 35 points and a new winner. If there is a repeat winner or a win by Harvick, Busch, Bowyer, or Truex, he would clinch on points with 17. Kurt Busch would clinch on points with 44 points and a new winner. If there is a repeat winner or a win by Harvick, Kyle, Joey Logano, Clint Bowyer, or Truex, he would clinch with 26 points. So we're getting into guys that need to have a good day. Don't have a lot to work with, but a little wiggle room. Bowyer would clinch on points with 52 points and a new winner. If there is a repeat winner or a win by Harvick, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, or Martin Truex Jr., he would clinch with 35 points. Martin Truex Jr., this is the one, he's in eighth. If there's a repeat winner or a win by Harvick, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, or Clint Bowyer, Truex would clinch on points with 38 points. He could clinch on points with a new winner, but would need some help. So, interesting situation for the defending champion. Brad Keselowski with a win. Keselowski would clinch a next round spot on wins. He could clinch on points, but would need some help. Same goes for Ryan Blaney. A win and he's in. Points, needs help. Kyle Larson. A win and he's in. Points, needs help. Alex Bowman, got to win, baby. In the words of Al Davis, just win. That's what Alex Bowman has to do. Now, I played this clip earlier in the show, speaking of Martin Truex Jr., but I want to play this part again as he talks about Kansas this weekend, which is a place that he is very, very good at. He has won there multiple times. Martin Truex Jr. on Kansas.
Yeah, I feel good about that. I mean, I think that's you know, that's a place we could go to even if we, you know, had to win and feel pretty confident about it. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to go there and win, but, you know, I feel like if there's anywhere we can have that kind of confidence, it's probably one of those tracks. So, yeah, I feel good about that. And, you know, this racing, a lot can happen, as we've seen today. You never know. But, you know, we'll give it all we've got, and we'll bring a great race car to to Kansas and go try to get us a checkered flag.
Now, as I said earlier in the show, he's saying, well, I'm not saying we're going to go there and win. Well, I think he's saying he's going to go there and win. Erase all doubt. Go there and get it done. Win the race. You're fine. You're in. And that is the place where Truex is really, really good, and he can get that done. I have a lot of faith in Martin Truex Jr. to go to Kansas, win the race, move on to the next round, and once again, we're looking like, all right, the big three, they're good to go. They're going to be at Homestead. Now, the guy that you heard Alan Cavanna and I talk about, we've discussed him on this show quite a bit, is Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson had a rough day at Talladega, had a penalty this week that hurt him. He's in a position where he basically has to win. And all year long, we talked about him as being a guy that would probably be the fourth driver at Homestead, but he hasn't won this year. He's come close, but they haven't gotten the win. This is Kyle Larson after Talladega, just talking about the frustrations on his day.
He's had a really slow car all weekend, so that was pretty disappointing, embarrassing at times, especially in practice and qualifying. But we were able to get a 11th, so, I mean, salvaged a decent day, but still in a position where we have to win next week. So, like I said, 11th doesn't really matter. I mean, second wouldn't have mattered. So, just need to have a good weekend next week. Kansas has always been a good track for us, so you know, that's promising. Going to a place where, you know, we've ran well at, you know, led a lot of laps, have challenged for wins there previously. So hopefully we can go there next week and have a good race and do something special.
Now, what's interesting about this interview that he did with NBC is there's another piece that I want to play, because he kind of, I wouldn't say it's a shot, he just had some criticisms for his team, because Dave Burns asked him, do you just kind of chuck this one away, put this one behind you, and don't really think about it? The answer is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to bury it, but then at the same time, you know, it'd be nice to invest some money into our Super Speedway cars, you know, money and time. You know, we focus so much on mile and a half stuff, which is, you know, obviously important, but these plate races mean a lot. You know, there's a lot of points to be made at, you know, Daytona and Talladega, and I feel like we haven't really tried to improve as an organization, really, since I've been at CGR. So hopefully we have one more race with this package, Daytona 500. Maybe we can put some emphasis on that and try and go have a good 500 in February.
Calling the team out a little bit. Like, hey, can I get more at the Super Speedway? We need to invest a little bit. Now, I'm not going to read that much into that. I think it's valid for him to, you know, say that about his team, especially after being frustrated. But what does that mean? Is there a little frustration behind closed doors? How does Chip Ganassi feel about that? I don't know. I'm just asking that question. The bottom line is Kyle Larson has not lived up to expectations this year. He's not going to make it to the round of eight because, yes, they've been good on mile and a halves, but I don't have a lot of faith in him winning this weekend and being able to close the deal. So I'm not really going to say, all right, he's the guy, he's going to win. Because now you have to watch out for drivers like Chase Elliott, like Eric Almirola, that have no pressure. And think about this with Almirola. This is the place he broke his back at. He missed a lot of time. Bubba Wallace got a tryout at Petty, ended up getting that job. Now, I think it's worked out better for Eric Almirola at Stuart Haas. But he was asked after winning the race last week, you know, going back to Kansas, how do you feel about that?
It does. It you know, I'm fired up about going to Kansas next week. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna go there with no pressure at all, and one thing on our mind, and that's to go win, and to try and get, you know, some stage points and bonus points and get ready for that round of eight. And so for us, I think that's our mindset, and that's a really fun mindset that I have never experienced in my entire career. I've always went to the racetrack every single weekend, you know, anxious and focused and concentrated and nervous about what if, and I hope we run good, and I hope we have a shot to win. And this weekend at Kansas, for us, nothing really else matters other than going there to win.
Checkers or Wreckers, baby. Go get those bonus points. Go get that win. And when you have a guy like that with that kind of mindset, like Eric Almirola has and Chase Elliott has, and you're a driver that has to win to get to the next round, a la Kyle Larson, that's stiff competition. That's all I'm saying. That is stiff competition because they are going to do whatever it takes just to get a win. And you are as well. The drivers that have to get a win, you know, they're going to be desperate too. But I just, the no-pressure drivers, those are the ones you got to watch out for. So Eric Almirola, could he make it two in a row? Could Chase Elliott end up in victory lane again? Or is Martin Truex Jr. going to get it done in advance to the round of eight? We will find out this weekend at Kansas. Thanks for tuning in, as always, to Chasing Checkers. If you missed any of the previous episodes, we've had a lot of drivers on this show. Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr. has been on, Ryan Blaney, just to name a few. You can go back and listen at thegamenashville.com or on iTunes as well. So go check that out. Appreciate it as always. Also check out my wrestling show, Through the Ropes, as well. I'm Chase McCabe. Enjoy the race weekend. We'll talk to you next time. ESPN 102.5 The Game.